how we function both as individuals and as groups in the church. Almost any congregation that you know about, you find various groups exist within that congregation. The individuals that comprises, make up any local congregation, as well as the groups that function in that congregation, they should never function or exist as a part of that congregation competing with one another. They should exist to complement one another and to edify one another. The church is a family. It is God's family. When this important, basic, spiritual truth is forgotten, when we forget that be that congregation made up of 10 or 10,000, we must never forget that we are a family. And by that, we are to be a healthy, functioning family. You see, there are a lot of families that you and I have known, and it is dysfunctional. Brothers competing against brothers, sister competing against brothers, and infighting in the family. God did not intend for his family to exist like that. Very important. The family of God, the spiritual family of God, which the church or each congregation represent, should be a healthy, functioning family. As I said, when this is forgotten, we become competitors and we undermine the work of the local congregation. When within a congregation, individuals or groups begin to compete with one another, one group compete with another group, you find that all that does is to undermine the effectiveness of the church. God does not want that. Different groups in any local congregation can be an asset for growth and development when that group starts out with and runs with the right and the proper biblical goals and objectives. Turn it around, Brother Mitchell. When any group, men's class, ladies' class, singing group, young people's group, name it, when any group starts out with the right biblical, scriptural goals and objectives and run in that fashion, you find almost always, instead of undermining and competing with, it becomes an asset in enhancing the goals, the objective, the growth and development of the church. No group or individual, no group in the church, no individual in the church should stand out with or engage in activities which compete with, take away from, or undermine the work and the activity of any other functioning existing group. I need to repeat this. No group, no individual in any local congregation should start out with or engage in activities which tend to compete with another group, activities are words which take away from another group or individual, activities are words which undermines the work or the activity of any other existing group. No group, no person in the church should do that. Wait. And you and I should make sure that we do not become a part of any group, any individual, any movement in the church that seems to be at a group or seems to be diminishing from group or individual. There is in the book of Timothy, where Paul encouraged Timothy not to be partakers of another person's sin. He said another man's sin. When that passage is read, you may think Paul means, Timothy, if you see a person sinning, you don't go and practice the same sin. That's not what he meant. What Paul meant in that passage is that don't give the person right when they are wrong, or any form of encouragement when they are in something that is against the will of God. Because once you do that, God consider you a part of the person's sin. So, whenever you or I see any individual or group which in its activity, in words that are said, in things that are done, that group or individual seems to be working against other existing group, you must make sure that you are not a part of that. You remember how Korah was the instigator against Aaron and Moses and God? But when the Almighty God take vengeance, and then it was thousands of people, not just Korah. You all get the drift? All those who follow Korah were destroyed. Remember, the earth opened up and take them in? Not just 100. So But you must have enough common sense as you listen to a person, and as you person, you can see that they are encouraging the sectarian spirit. We are coming upon one or two words that Paul discussed that. You must not be a part of any sectarian spirit within the congregation. And in fact, also watch for any brother or sister that you see want to create division. You see, watch for this. The us and the them attitude. Watch for that in the church. The us and the them attitude. There should never be any us and them attitude in any local congregation. You know why? It's all us. Whatever is done in a local congregation, if you cannot be a part of it, and when it is spoken about, if it is negatively spoken about, it includes you. If it is positively spoken about, it includes you. Because you are a part of it. Whenever you find that spirit of the us and the them, then something is wrong. And that is not in keeping with the body of Jesus Christ and with the family of God. And watch for that. One of the things you must keep in mind is that it's one thing for you or I to be going off track. It's another thing to recognize that you are going off track. There are a lot of people, either by their words or their attitude or their conduct, they're going off track. And my God, they don't see. They feel that they are right. There are people who have the spirit of division. They are divisive. And if you are 1,000 people, point out that spirit is not a Christ-like spirit. They don't see. And if you get an angel from heaven to take them one side and show them that spirit is divisive, they don't see. When you or I fall in their trap and we cannot see, that person may ultimately lead you into destruction while you are in the church. While you are in the church, or think you are in it. So I repeat again. No individual, no group should start out with or engage in activities which compete with other group or individual, which takes away from what other group or individual are doing, or which undermines the work or the activity or in of any other existing group. The activity of any group or person in the local congregation should complement and supplement that other group or that other person. We should not be competing with or taking away from. I must make sure that as an individual or the group to which I belong is not working against any other group. That is sinful. I should make sure the group I belong to, or as an individual, my words and my activity complements that other group. Supplement it. Strengthen it. I'm coming to a word the Bible uses a lot, and it is the word edify. And that's exactly what I'm saying here. The activity of any group or person in the local congregation should complement, supplement, and strengthen any other group. Any other group, not to undermine it, or take away from it. It's a word you come upon quite often in the New Testament. And why so quite often? Because it is telling the Christian what God's expectation of us and our words and our activities are. Edify. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 12, 19. 1 Corinthians 14, 5, 12, 26. Let us hear first Romans chapter 14, 19.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another.
Read it again.
Let us therefore follow after things which make...
Let us therefore follow after things
which make for peace,
which encourages peace,
and things wherewith one may edify another.
Don't be a worrified person. In fact, I was about to say in the church. But let me correct that. Be a man or a woman, a brother or a sister who is generally peaceful. Work, on the street, in the home. Be a person who is peaceful. What the brother just read, that's what it is saying. It is a fact that some people, country people, would I say, warify. You know, you hear people talk about war boat. That some people, them just, they are not contented if they are not at war with somebody. Be it at the workplace, on the street, in the church. May I? For years I share this thought with you, and it is a fact. Troubled people are troublesome people. Are we all there? If you are a man or a woman who is troubled inside, it's going to come out. All when people who deal with you meant peace, you are going to find a way to create war. Are we all there? You must examine yourself and make sure that if you are such a person, you address. Are we all there? So when the Bible talks about you must look for those things which make for peace. Now, wait, the pastor wasn't telling us to compromise. So don't go in that direction. Where you have to take a stand, and that stand create whatever, take that stand, if it is a right stand. Make sure it is a right stand. Make sure it is on principle of that which is right. Then the Bible not only say that not only you must look for things that generate peace, what it says there again?
And things wherewith one may edify another.
The word edify means to build up from foundation. E-T-I-D-A. T-I-O-N. That's right. That's one of the basic meaning in the original Greek word, to build up from foundation. The word edify means to renovate. Let me put another word here in bracket. It means to renovate, to repair. You are building up, but you are building up something that has already been built. It's only now it needs repair. The word edify. See, the word edify means to polish something that look rugged and thing, you apply the necessary whatever need to apply and it looks like new. You ever drop on your shoes? Your nice leather shoes? You find a police or a soldier. You can just imagine when Brother Morrison was active. I don't know how his shoes look these days. I must look at it. But soldier shoes were always, that's right. That's the word edify. To build up from foundation. And this concept is where you take the life of a sinner and place Jesus Christ in that life and make good of it. This one means you take a Christian who has once embraced Christ and backslide. This person needs renovation. This person needs repair. And then this word carry almost the same idea of this one. The word edify carry all that meaning. And the Bible says that we must look for things that we may edify one another. Individual in the church, group in the church. When we start remembering that the church is a family, and that part of our responsibility to any other group, to any other individual is this, then we will start seeing how our words, our attitude, our conduct enhances the church. Look, the brother just read Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 19. And then 14, 5. Let us hear it.
And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet.
Is that 12?
Started at 19. I'm now at 21.
Okay. I was about to say, let me hear 12, 9, but leave 12. Step to 14, 5, that is verse 5, verse 12, and verse 26. Same, 1 Corinthians 14.
1 Corinthians 14, 5.
Yeah, 14, 5.
I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Except he interprets, that the church may receive edifying.
The brother is reading from 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5. I would that all speak with tongues. And what you notice here, just along the way, that all the gifts were not as each gift was not as important as any other. There are some gifts that had a priority. And this verse is showing that. Read again, I that ye all speak with tongues. But rather
that he prophesied.
I would rather that instead of speaking in other languages, speaking in other languages, that you are able to preach and teach. You all get that.
For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues.
You hear that? All of you here who can speak Russian and French and Spanish, that I'm able to preach, the Bible says I'm better. put joke aside, as we usually say. What part? You see, the Corinthians were eager for this exhibitionist gift. You know, it's the same people who lack faith want miracle. They want something to compensate for their lack of faith. They want something they can see. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. It is lack of faith why people are so anxious for miracles. On the other side, the Corinthians want the gift of speaking other languages. It brings attention to them. Paul says, speaking a dozen languages, being able to speak it, is not as important as being able to teach God's word. Read it again.
I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interprets.
Read on.
That the church may receive edifying.
The bottom line in what we do, what we say, is to bring edification to the body of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. And when you see any brother or sister functioning in the church and want to create the us and the them in the church, your question should be, in what way does that edify other existing group? Edify the church? Or is it undermining the work of other groups? Because anyway, it takes away from other existing group or undermines what other existing group is, then you belong to the wrong group. Any group that operates, or any individual that undermines what other existing group is doing, or undermines individual, or undermines the work of the church, you are with the wrong people. You are. Because edification, building up, renovating or repairing, polishing, that is, make the thing, the person look good, is our responsibility. And you have just read verse 5. Let us hear verse 12.
Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts,
mm-hmm,
seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church.
Read that again. Somebody didn't hear that.
Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts,
mm-hmm,
seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church.
Whenever you are seeking any ability, engage in any activity, our word, make sure it is of the sort that build up individual or the church. Edification should be in our focus. And you don't forget, it means to build up from foundation. It means to renovate or to repair. It means to polish. That was verse 12. Verse 26, same 14.
How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Let all things be done unto edifying.
You all hear that again? Here, what this verse is teaching is that when worship and the activity of the congregation is properly organized and planned, it must add to edification. And the idea here, if it does not add to the edification of the members, whatever your or my activity is, then it's useless. Edification, not tearing down. That was verse 26, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry.
Start from verse 11.
And he gave some apostles and some.
The Almighty God placed in the church apostles.
And some prophets.
He placed in the church prophets.
And some evangelists.
He placed in the church evangelists or preacher.
And some pastors and teachers.
And some pastors as elders, teachers.
For the perfecting.
Wait. This is the purpose for which he placed them in the church. For the
perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ.
For the edifying of the body of Christ. Almost everything must gear our activity, our words, our attitude, our disposition, must gear towards building up the church, both qualitatively and quantitatively. Edification. Wait, no? As we go along, you can see the sinfulness. When my activity, or your activity, or you and your friend activity, tend to undermine what other person or other group is doing. You know, see? When I engage in activity, be it in my words, my attitude, or my conduct, that takes away from other group, diminishes, it undermines other person or group, or the church, you are working against God. And you or I don't know at what time God may grab you up. Truly. Because while God is patient and he allows us, he gives us allowance to turn from wrong to right. If we just galance up, sooner or later he grabs us up. Make sure that you do not engage in either words or activities that undermine or take away from what other person or other group is doing. And make sure that the devil in his subtlety do not bring somebody within your circle who is doing that, and your thoughtlessness hinders you from seeing what is being done. What is the verse you have just read, dear brother, in Ephesians 4:12?
The ending of 12. For the perfecting of the saints.
That's when God put apostles and prophets and preachers and elders in the church, it was to perfect the saints. That is step by step to bring the Christian to where God wants them to be, spiritually, morally, religious, whatever. For the perfecting of the saints.
For the work of the ministry.
For the work of the ministry.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
For the building up of the body of Jesus Christ. That's the end of 12.
Yes.
Verse 16.
From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Here again, you know, I wish we have time to. There's a lot of things he said in this verse, rich verse. But notice the culmination is the edifying of the body again. That was verse 16. Verse 29.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying.
Y'all hear that? Huh? The Bible, from Old to New Testament, represent the tongue as probably the most destructive and sinful member of the entire body. From Old to New Testament, the wise man Solomon talks about the tongue a lot. Book like Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. One of the most comprehensive passages, the passage in James, which tells that the tongue is a world, not an island. It is a world of iniquity. And here the Bible, the verse 29, listen it again.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
You see, the tongue has been used for more sin and destruction than any other members of our body. So the Bible says, let no corrupt
communication.
Always be alert for the brother or sister who comes to you with mischief, backbiting, lying, ready to secretly whisper something in your ears. Watch for that. Sometime a person will come smiling like they are joking, but they are sowing mischief. So watch for the person who come and they pass a remarks about another person and they are smiling like they are joking. That's the devil. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But you notice the richness of the verse. It does not only give you the negative, it gives you the positive. In other words, instead of this,
which is good, but that which is good to the use of edifying.
Make sure when you speak, it is that which tend towards building up the person or the body of Christ. Wait, that doesn't mean you must lie about a person. No. It doesn't mean you must be a diplomat, social diplomat. No. When there are certain truths that you will gladly eat, if you have not said it to the person and you can produce proof, you will gladly say it, then you have to speak, because that is the truth. I'm not talking about your truth, I'm talking about objective truth. So the passage here is not just saying to be a nicey person. The Bible is telling us that we must be responsible in our speaking. Must be good for edification. When When the words are the activities of any group or person in the local congregation, takes away from, compete with, or undermines another person or group, that group or person becomes a liability to the church and to the cause of Jesus Christ. That is, when I as a person or I am a part of a group that either takes away from another group, compete with other group, or undermine a person or a group, then I become a liability, not an asset. Do you know that the simplest of member in the large church was expected to be an asset? Yes, every God, one of us, God expects us to so think, speak, act, that we add something good to the church. And at least we do not take away from those who are trying their best to do something for Christ. When we start take away from and the man, we become liability. Not only to any group, but to the body of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 25.
That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
You all hear that? May I? Schism, division. That means that passage is talking about the attitude of the us and the them. The Holy Spirit in Paul is saying, you don't, having that attitude is wrong. Encouraging sect or party spirit or cliques in the church is sinful. We're not going to get to cutting up a word that Paul used in Titus, I think, tonight. But hopefully I'll take a few minutes one Sunday night. Encouraging party spirit in the church. Cliques. Sectarian attitude is sinful. There ought to be no them and us in the body of Christ. I'm going to ask that certain passage be read, but I'm not going to comment on them. It's just that another time we'll take them up. There are quite a few passages. I'm going to ask about that one or two or three of them be read. You have passage like Acts 5, 17, 15, 5, 28, 22. You have passage like 1 Corinthians 11, 19. passage like Galatians 5:20, and especially Titus chapter 3 verse 10. let us hear Acts chapter 28:22. 1 Corinthians 11:19, Titus 3:10. As I said, we are reading these passages for a further discussion.
Acts 20:22.
Yeah.
But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against.
Okay. You see, here in criticizing Christianity, are we all there? People who did not have a kind attitude towards Christianity use the word sect. It is not a word that is used kindly in most of its usages. Let us hear Galatians 5:20. And then Titus 3:10.
Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies.
If it were by the study, I would ask you which of these words refer to sect. It is the word heresy. But as I said, we're not going to be discussing, quite interesting, the word heresy. And here it is put as part of a list of the sinfulness. Now, the same word is used in the book of Titus 3:10. Listen it.
A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject.
Are we all there? A man that is an heretic, after you have admonished that person, the first or second time, what? Reject. When we come back, we are going to be looking on, because these words are describing an attitude, a disposition. It is describing the us and the them attitude. In wrapping up again, whenever you as a part of any congregation see particular section of the church as the them, and you are distinguishing yourself from that then you need to examine if you are a part of the body of Christ. You need to carry out a good examination. Because in the true body of Jesus Christ, there ought not to be the them and the us. In any true congregation, all that Christ wants is us. When we get back, we will be looking on these passages, especially, well, we'll be taking up probably 3 or 4 of these passages and look on the word that is used and the concept behind them. Let me encourage you to don't be a person who contributes to party spirit, division, sectarian attitude in the body of Christ, because that is sinful. And be careful that you do not side with any brother or sister with that type of attitude, because that alone places you in sin. If you are here tonight and if you are not a child of God, you notice I have not yet touched on things like praise and worship group, missionary society, prayer warriors. That's right. Did you know that praise and worship is coming from the choir? Well, we will look at these another time. If you are here tonight, if you are not a child of God, you can come and simply obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we extend Jesus' invitation to you, we are not giving you something that we put together. If we put something together religiously, it will be of no help to you. We are inviting you to embrace Jesus' plan of salvation for your life, for your soul. Tonight, you can simply step forward, believing in Christ, accepting your sinful condition, making a decision to repent of your sin, to confess Christ's name, and to get baptized. And you know what? We are here to be of assistance to you as we sing Jesus Christ Calls.